to love everyone. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated.
Sound like some of them Hebrews up there in Oklahoma when I was a child. Praise Yahweh. They just discovered that the, green-eyed Chinese Orientals descended from the Roman soldiers, who were, of course, descended from the 12 tribes. They're getting closer every day. Orientals, you know where you came from? The 12 tribes. Praise Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Handed this article, 50 million people in America going hungry. We're promised famine for this time period, if you remember. And of course, this famine seems to be getting worse. At least it's coming out on the news more. You need to be aware of your dog and cat food. We call the companies. It does have pork in it. That's their main protein, I think. The fat comes from pork, they said. And they say, are there a problem with that? Yeah, my dog's having heart trouble. But I know a lot of people will buy that dog food and not think anything about it and bring it into the kitchen, pour it in a dog bowl or a cat bowl, and some of it goes over to the side. The children pick it up and eat it and wallow around in the floor where it was, crawl around. You might be thinking of those things a little. Now, we do have clean dog food, by the way, made by the workers here at the house. And that's all we feed the dogs. That's all we feed our dogs is that we have several guard dogs, and that's all we feed them. If worse comes to worse, I would eat it. It's got a little bit of husk that I don't like, but the dog seems to like it. I got a letter this week. I may have gotten it before this as an email. We get them a bunch now. In fact, I was just told this morning from the Cohan Matthews and his family. They had pulled up the website. By the way, you foreign countries, wave at me there if you can see me. There you go. Okay. They pulled up something and they said they had gobs of people. I don't remember how many, but they saw gobs of people with their computers tuned in already. And they could see this somehow on their computer. I guess you computer experts know what they're talking about. But they had their computers turned on. I think this was at 9 o'clock this morning, waiting for us to come on. So we got people lined up all over the world where this is going out to any place in the world now. You can get it on the computer any place in the world. But this letter, they said they were of the opinion before they started listening to the sermons on the house of Yahweh that Yochanan and Yahshua were the two witnesses. I've heard people, preachers, a lot of them proclaimed that they were the two witnesses, but they never fulfilled any of the prophecies. Now, you got to remember that the only reason we know that Yahshua was the Savior was that he fulfilled every prophecy prophesied concerning him. And this also shows who the two witnesses are today, but most of the people, they only know about, what they find in in Revelation 11 about the two witnesses, which is very little. And just with that information, there's no way, you know, you could say that the Pope and somebody else is the witnesses. But the two witnesses, without knowing what they are, first off, they have to teach the laws of Yahweh. That is part of their job. That's prophesied of them. But you need to keep in mind some dates, too. People don't study the scriptures like they did when I was a child, or at least my family. My family, it was an everyday thing in my life. We sat down by a kerosene lamp every evening. There was no electricity, no running water, except that we went to the well and got and run back with it. But we sat down every night to a kerosene lamp and we studied the scriptures. We read the King James Bible. That was all we had. But I could take the King James Bible, as many mistakes as in it, I can show you the two witnesses and the prophecies of them and show you their names, the time that they would be called, the time their work would start. But Yeshua, he ascended to heaven in 29 A.D. If you could get some of these dates in your mind, 29 A.D. Now, the apostles who saw him go and who was trained by them, all of their works, all of the apostles' works was finished. That's the work that we have in the 60s. That's 60s A.D., 60s, except Yochanan. Of course, Yochanan, who was given the revelation, who the first, second, and third Yochanan, they were about 80s in that area. That is, the third Yochanan was in the 80s. The others was in the 60s, along with the other apostles. And then, of course, the book of Revelations, it was given to Yochanan in 96. So you can see he was getting up in age at that time when this was given to him. And he was a prisoner at that time, of course. I suppose that he was probably unable to work, or maybe worked in the library, but at that time Yahweh gave him this book of Revelations to write for us. But if you figure that up, about 60 to 65 years after Yeshua ascended. Now, Yochanan was dead. They cut his head off. The one that came before Yeshua, but his job was finished when he proclaimed to the nation Israel, or got it started, got the proclamation started there, that the Savior is come. It's time for him. This is his time period. And of course, he was used to baptize him, and then he said, that he must diminish, and of course the Savior then increase and go on doing the work until he was murdered also and then ascended to heaven in 29. Get that in your mind. Don't forget it. These dates, you can remember them about these people, and it's needful to remember some of these dates because otherwise you'll get confused and think that when it says Israel, speaking of the 12 tribes, it's talking of the witness called Israel in the last days, but some of it is needful. And I thought maybe if I start putting it in some of these things at the beginning of the book or the beginning of the lesson, maybe I could place it in your mind and make it more rememberable to you, because I think these things are brought out, but people don't remember them. They see no need to remember them, so they just forget them. The Revelation 11, is about the extent of the knowledge that the world has, so they have very little. But the prophecies of the two witnesses, they start in Genesis, and they are spoken of by almost every prophet in the Holy Scriptures. The two witnesses are involved in witnessing to the nations in the last days. The last days is given to you as a time period, the Savior himself showed you this, as a time period when nuclear bombs would be invented. There was no nuclear bombs in the Savior's time or in Yochanan's time. There wasn't even a firecracker at that time. In the days of Moshe, when he was prophesying about the nuclear bomb and giving the colors of the fallout or the mushroom cloud that comes with each explosion, he gave the colors there in Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter. And he said the fallout would come down upon you from heaven. And we didn't know anything about fallout at the time until the nuclear bombs were invented. And then a couple of fishermen saw some of it floating on the waters and picked it up. And that's when we learned. That was in the 40s, I do believe. 1940, not 40 A.D., but 1940, in the 40s and 50s, when the nuclear bomb was invented and used. And of course, we know that there's a fallout that comes with it, a radiation now that comes with it, and all those things were prophesied. And even the colors of the mushroom cloud were given to us. So we know that the last days that is spoken of here, when the two witnesses would do their work, would be, as Yeshua said, the last generation when the sun could be darkened with nuclear bombs. Well, that's the last days, and that's when the scripture shows that they would be doing their work. They would be given the gift, the authority. Yahweh shows by the prophets they're given authority to do his work. And that authority is given to take the laws to the nations, to all nations, which we are doing. And it's never been done before, but it's being done now. Praise Yahweh. Another thing that is shown by the two witnesses is involved in is in establishing the last day's house. In the last days, I will establish my house in the chief of the nations. And the two witnesses are shown in Zechariah 4 and 5 that to be the ones who would do this, to establish his house, to take it to a land, a Babylonian land, which was not yet developed. And, of course, that was America that no one knew about at that time. It wasn't discovered until 1492. It was discovered before that, but that's when they put Columbus down and gave him the credit as the discoverer, so Great Britain could take control of it as the discovering nation of the United States, which wasn't the United States at that time. The training period of the house of Yahweh, adults and children, that's also shown in as being a part of the two witnesses' work. Training children that would receive the Spirit of Yahweh and be able to preach and testify and teach the peaceful solution. Yes, children, young children, that's what it says. And they have the authority to do that. They were given this, which includes also the gift of healing and will include the gift of the raising of the dead. The raising of the dead. Yes, that's all promised in this work, prophesied in this work. All of the above is shown here a little and there a little from Genesis to Revelations in the Holy Scriptures. And, of course, the last several sermons has been about the two witnesses. My problem has been, and this is my problem, or no one would even be thinking along the line that Yeshua and Yochanan were the two witnesses. My problem has been, I think, when I'm preaching, I think, well, everybody knows this, so I won't do it in detail like we have before, but it's all been brought out in detail. But we need to go more into detail in this time period. I do, and that's what I'm going to start doing. I'm very sorry about the appointments. I'm striving to catch up with you. And the phone calls, I'm sorry about that. But the sermon today now, it's going to be about the two witnesses. It's been about the two witnesses for quite some time. Did you ever wonder why Yeshua was prophesied to come riding a donkey? Donkeys. I don't know. Everybody was familiar with donkeys when I was a child. Someone called me last night and said, did you ever hear of liquid sugar? And I said, yes, I used to make it. Very few people have heard about it, but yes, I used to make it. My dad owned a syrup mill, and the farmers would have him come and set up in their field, the syrup mill, and it was pulled by a mule, which is half donkey. And I was the one that rode the donkey that pulled the big stone that rolled over the platform and squeezed the liquid sugar out of the sugar cane. And of course it ran down into a trough, but the people didn't want liquid sugar at that time. They wanted blackstrap molasses. So it went into a trough where it was cooked. And if we ever burn a batch, that was our batch and that was our pay. So we were very careful not to burn it. But the donkeys, I was riding donkeys then when I was at that age, and I'm riding donkeys now, you know. But the donkeys now are the ones that's doing the work. That's what an oxen and a donkey is, the one that the person used to do the work. And Yeshua is the one that is thithering or tying, as Genesis 49 says. That's the first place it's prophesied, and I want you to go there. And everybody that hears me out there, go to Genesis 49, because this is the first place that the witnesses is actually mentioned. It's mentioned before this in second chapter of Genesis, but here he shows the last days, and the Savior says to you, and remember this, you're a fool if you don't believe everything that the prophets have spoken. That is the inspired prophets of Yahweh, the ones that spoke as they were inspired by Holy Spirit or Spirit Holy. The very first verse there says, he shows you the last days. Get that work. The last days, the Savior said, would be the last generation, remember, when we would have nuclear bombs that could destroy the earth or darken the sun. And that's when Yahweh or Yeshua will be sent at that time, because if he were not sent, his power sent to earth to roll back this debris that's going to be there very soon now. I don't know if you've noticed what the nations are doing, but they act like a bunch of children, and they got some big sticks to fight with, and they don't seem to be able to make a peaceful decision. And not even when it's offered to them, they still don't want it. And it seems like that they're eagerly wanting to go into nuclear war now. Of course, it's been in their mind for quite some time. I'm surprised to see how many people think they want war. And they actually say, yes, I would like to see this come. The majority of the people in America, and I guess throughout the world, because South Korea, the defense minister stepped down because he was criticized because he didn't fight back when North Korea shot missiles over into South Korea last week. It's amazing. So, you know, they hate a man, they hate a leader when he won't put their country at risk over a stupid mistake. You know, and you're going to find mistakes throughout eternity, I do believe. Here in Genesis 49, the last two words, last days, you got to put that in your memory and mark it with the words of Yahshua, which said the last generation, this generation. When you see this, when you start seeing this, this generation is not going to pass away till all of these things are fulfilled. Well, that's the last days, our last generations. In that same time period, the Savior also said this message would go to all nations, speaking of the work of the two witnesses, because they're prophesied to do it, as we will see. But in verse 10, the scepter will not depart from Yada, nor the ruling staff from between his feet until he comes to whom tribute belongs. Well, in Matthew 24, you'll see there when he's going to come. And before that, he said, the prince of this world is coming. I won't be talking to you much longer, he said, because the prince of the world is coming, or the princess of the world, and she's going to take over, and the judgment of the world is given to her right now, and will be for this certain time period. But when Yeshua is sent to take over that rulership, then that's when he will, and it's in this generation that he's going to do that. Now, that's a fact, brother. And then obedience of the nations is going to be his. Well, how are they going to do that? You can see it right there. By tethering his donkeys to the vine. He's the vine. So as the donkeys that he was using there was the 12 disciples that Yahweh gave him, of which he only lost one, if you remember. Yahweh gave him 12 donkeys that he tied to himself there. They belong to him. Did you get that? The ox knows its owner, or does he know his crib? The donkey knows its owner, or does the donkey know the crib? You don't remember, do you? Well, we'll read it again. But both of them know. Both of them know. The ox is the ministers of Yahweh. They know who owns them, at what time period they're owned, by whom they are owned. And they work for the one cent. And the 12 disciples worked for the one cent at that time. There is two witnesses that would be sent. And Yahweh gave them a certain people to work with them. They are his to work with, teach, and get into the kingdom. Well, remember that. So the way he does it, he's not here. He's sitting in heaven. He ascended to heaven where he is. He sits, that is, he judges at the right hand of Yahweh. He judges. Now, he doesn't judge the world. He says, I don't judge anyone of the world at this time. Satan has that. She's doing it. Judging also means ministering to, helping, teaching, supporting, and so forth. Intervening on their behalf and so forth. To save the work, to save the people, to get them out of jail, to get them, bring peace to their lives where they can get the work done, and so forth. Well, that's his job. He is sitting at this time judging you, judging you right now. You're the only ones on earth. The only ones, the ones called are the ones that's judged. The others are not being judged at this time. No, they won't be judged at this time. Yahweh says, remember this scripture in Psalms, set at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Well, what does that mean? Something to put your feet up on and relax? If you knew the scriptures, and I've explained this before, but if you knew the scriptures, you would know that it means to worship before Yahshua's feet. Well, that time has not come for the nations yet. They're not worshiping Yahweh. They're not worshiping through Yahshua. They're not sitting at the feet of the teacher learning, which is the throne of Yahweh. He sits on the throne of Yahweh. So when he says, I will make your enemies your footstool, he's meaning to come and worship Yahweh in front of the throne of Yahweh at the feet of Yahshua, whom they have rejected up until this time. And the nations are actually going to do this, what is left of the nations after nuclear war comes. But in getting this job done, he has to tie his donkeys to the vine. That's himself, and that was the 12 disciples. And then the donkey's colts, which we are a breed, that is, we come off of their teaching. The donkeys today came from the foundation that they laid. The foundation they laid comes to us. We also have the foundation of the prophets. And as the speaker said, we have the foundation of the prophets and apostles. That's ours. So we're the donkeys that came from their teaching. So you tie the donkey's colts, see, to the choice branch. Now the secret here is who is the choice branch that they're talking about. Who is the chosen person that Yahweh has chose to preach his message, declare these things to the world. Let's go back over now to Isaiah. We read that. Remember that in Genesis, because it's, and let's go to Isaiah. And here in Isaiah, the first chapter, again, now Isaiah gives more on the two witnesses than any other prophet, but they're spoken of by several prophets. But if you notice in verse 1, Isaiah 1, verse 1, he says, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Yada and Jerusalem. In the days, he shows when he saw it. These chronologies that are given, they're important because here's how we get our dates. And we know when this prophet lived and when he spoke. And then archaeology comes along now in these last days and backs up what the scripture says with their archaeology finds. So he says, hear, O heaven, now, witness this, heavens, and give ear to the O earth, because he is showing you that these nations, he brought out the 12 tribes, are rebellious. They have rebelled against me. And Yahweh showed this to them. He's not crying about it. He's just showing them they rebelled and why they rebelled. How did they make such a stupid mistake and fall away? And why can't they see the suffering they're bringing on themselves by doing so? The ox knows its owner. You got it now? The ox is mentioned first here. And the donkey knows its crib. That he's pointing out to you two things here. One, telling you, trust in this oxen, because he knows. He knows his owner. Trust in the donkeys who is doing the work, because they know the house of Yahweh. They are, Yahweh is promising you they'll be fully trained to get you the gifts that you're seeking, the authority that we all want. We'll look on to verse 4. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity. Iniquity is doing away, pushing away the laws of Yahweh. A seed of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken Yahweh. Now, if you take this message here that he has given you, and you look at the words, what took place in the temple, they stopped calling it House of Yahweh and started calling it a temple. And then you take the ones that are in control here. He says the seed of evildoers. And you take Yeshua's words, who said, you're just like your fathers. And you're saying you are the seed of your fathers because you're doing the same thing they did. And he says, your teacher is Satan, and whatever she tells you, that is what you're going to do. But he says, I'm not going to do that. I am going to do Father Yahweh's will. And he said, this thing that I'm going to have to go through is to prove to the world that I love Father Yahweh. Now that was the Savior's word. Well, the people who had control here are Yada, which he spoke of in Genesis 49, saying this rulership is not going to be taken from them until the one who has proved to be righteous comes. Not speaking of his first coming, but the second coming, when he is given power along with all the donkeys who has served, because they'll be resurrected and we'll all serve and work together at that time as Yahweh's kingdom. You can get that total picture there in your mind. But he's doing that right here. He's saying that this nation is sinful nation, is turned to sin, just like his plan, just like the plan of Yahweh showed. Let's see. He says in verse 5, he says, why would you be stricken anymore? Why would you revolt? He's not trying to convert them. He's asking this question here to show heaven and earth why this is taking place. He's allowing it to take place. It's predicted that they will kill the Savior. That was the prophecy, that the whole nation of Israel had to agree to kill Yeshua. The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. And the nation is destroyed as if it was done with strangers. Now, this is speaking of showing you the background, the setup here of the 12 tribes as he showed in Genesis 49. He showed the last days, and then he gave you a prediction there of each tribe and the character that it would have here, which he shows there, seed of evil doers, bread, the breeding of evil, going into the genes of the person, as we're just now finding out that you can actually do this, breed it into the genes. Now, notice 2 says, the word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Yada and Jerusalem again here. It will come to pass in the last days that the mountain, that is the promotion of the house of Yahweh, will be established in the chief of the nations. Well, in the last days, we're speaking another time period here, and then Zechariah, we'll read that later, but Zechariah said it's going to be established in a nation that's not even established, a Babylonian land not even established at this time. Not even established. So here we know that it would be, now we know that it was the United States. They didn't know that at that time. They just knew from what he said, the prophecy said, it would be a chief nation, the chief of the nations, but it wasn't even established. The land was not even established at the time Zechariah wrote in 500 BCE. Well, here now, the chief of the nations in the last days. Now, that's the last generation, he said. And then he shows that it would be teaching, that the law would depart from Zion. That was in verse 3 there. That the law and the prophets would depart out of Zion. Total darkness for that nation after that. His name would be mentioned there no more. And then another one said, Zion is going to be plowed like a field. Now, all those prophecies took place. The temple, get this date, the temple was destroyed in 70 CE. That was 40 years after Yeshua, after Yeshua ascended to heaven, 70 CE, Zion at that time was plowed like a field. All the artifacts taken by Titus, you can look up Titus in any encyclopedia and see what he did, but he destroyed the temple. All the priests that were living there moved to Rome, where they're still ruling the nations. Part of them went to China, as we just saw. They're still in China. And they're still, if you look back to Genesis 49, you'll see that there are a bunch of war-raging nations, started from the 12 tribes. China is sitting on a gob of nuclear bombs. India is build up troops along the border between them and China. India is a so-called ally of the U.S. I got my doubts about that. The allies seem to run as deep as the pocketbook. And, of course, we buy a lot of stuff from India. They buy a lot of stuff from the United States. We're looking into other markets. That is, the United States is. They're looking into other markets, but it's in that territory over there, not over here. The other nations are aware of this, and they're saying, hey, not only are they wanting our oil and all of our wealth from these nations, but now they're wanting to take the trade from these nations away from us. And if you could see the map where they're striving to get that trade, it's just dotted, just thickly dotted all over that fourth quarter of the earth. Okay, but here he says, in the last days now, the house of Yahweh will be established. And then in verse 6, he says, you have forsaken, get this now, you have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with customs from the east. Well, this shows you that whoever this is that's speaking of here, he's not in the east, but he's filled with customs from the east. So he's in another place there, and he's saying, and he names the person here, Jacob. Because he's filled with customs of the east, and they are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they are pleased in the children of strangers. If you remember the words he used earlier here about strangers in verse chapter 1, then it will help to make sense out of that. The work of Yeshua's, the work of Yeshua done by the donkeys and the ox includes the last day's witness. Now, if you go to Isaiah 41, and this was one of the prophecies that the scholars have struggled over, that I read you, they've struggled over it for years, and they want to know who this servant is here. Well, he is a servant. He's a servant of Yeshua in the last days. Yeshua is his judge. He's also his king for these last days. This is Isaiah 41 now. We're back to Isaiah 41. Now, they apply this prophecy, and the one in Isaiah 42 to Yeshua, and it is because it ties to him. He's tied to the donkeys, the workers in the last days. Isaiah 42 and verse 1. He said, behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit. Now here's the clue now. Here's a clue that you're going to see later on in another place. And remember, Yeshua showed that the spirit that he's speaking of here is the laws of Yahweh. That's Yochanan 6:63. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect, the diglot here says chosen. If I can get this under that thing where you could see it, I've taped the interlinear at the top of my book of Yahweh. Can you see the word chosen there? That's the interlinear. I'll read you exactly what it says here. It says, chosen one of me, she delights, self of me, I will put spirit of me on him, justice to the nations he will bring. Now, according to the experts, that bring, the word bring there means he will publish. He shall publish judgment to the nations. Judgments. That's salvation and deliverance. Now, all the scholars, the ones that really work at this every day, they are concerned and trying to figure this out. And if they just pay, you know, stay with us, they will agree, and they'll start to agreeing that this is true. Bring forth your witnesses, Yahweh said. But the diglot itself, they put this in the diglot, which is, the diglot is concerned with the book 2, or what they call the New Testament. It says, I have put my spirit upon him, he will publish judgment to the nations. And then, of course, they show this verse and think that it is referring to Yahshua. But Yahshua didn't publish this to the nations. Yahshua is the judge of what we're doing, which he is also what Yahweh is inspiring. And remember that psalm, Yahweh says, sit here till I do this. Judge here until I get this done. So it is Yahweh that's doing it, but Yahshua is judging you on your whether or not you're capable of receiving this great power that's spoken of in Genesis, or authority to work throughout eternity. Now notice the word spirit again. I have put my spirit upon him. My spirit. Now go over to Isaiah 44, because here Yahweh names the two witnesses. Yes, he gives you the names of the two witnesses here in this chapter. But the first thing I want you to see, start with verse 1. He's speaking of two men here. Isaiah 44, speaking of two men. He says, now, yet hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Well, right away, people start thinking, well, this was the Jacob, the father of Israel, the 12 tribes of which is prophesied in Genesis 49. No, he's dead, like Yochanan, he's dead, and he won't be resurrected until Genesis, the 20th chapter. That's the first resurrection shown there. What this is speaking of is two people. In fact, it's two brothers. And he gives a lot of information on these two brothers here. Yet hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Well, I just showed you now in Isaiah 42 here, this word, it's a clue to understand this. The word here, we translated it elect, but the diglot the interlinear by Kohlenberger shows this word should have been translated chosen. And every scholar seems to know this because all of them translated it that way. Chosen. Chosen. Now here you see it again. 44 and verse 1. Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. So if you go back there now to 42 and you see what he's speaking of here, he's going to take the message to all nations. That's his job. This is what Yahweh does to make the nations the footstool of Yahshua, that is to come and worship before Yahweh. at the throne of Yahweh instead of the throne of Satan, where the world is worshiping at this time. Revelation 12:9. The whole world is deceived by Satan. But in the last days, see, the sinful nation, it comes from this breeding. The sinful nation, all the world today, is now come from these 12 tribes shown in Genesis 49. It shows you the acts of their sinfulness there and what they're coming to. Then Isaiah says, now look, heaven and earth, it's come to exactly that. O sinful nation, Yada, Jerusalem, even the priest have turned to iniquity. But in the last days, I will establish my house, and it will do what? Take the message to all nations. In the last days, Isaiah 2:2. But Isaiah 44 now, the word chosen, verse 1. Whom Israel, whom I have chosen. This is what Yahweh says, who made you and formed you from the womb. Who will help you? Do not be afraid, Jacob, my servant, and Yishron, that's beloved Israel, whom I have appointed. For I will pour water upon him who is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit upon your seed and my blessing upon your offspring. Did you see? Go back over here. And he says, I have put my spirit upon this person. Verse 1, chapter 42, verse 1. Well, here he's saying, the same spirit, my spirit, upon your seed now. Isaiah 42:1, upon your seed, the ones you convert through your work, through your teaching. You get that? Chapter 44, verse 3. Now, if you compare Yael to this, or if you have a King James version, it's Joel, go to chapter 2 of Yael and verse 10. The earth will quake before them, the heavens will tremble, the sun and moon will be darkened. Now, we know from the prophecies this is referring to the nuclear war, the same one that Malachia spoke of, same one that Isaiah spoke of in Isaiah 24. And shows that it's sin that's causing this. Sin is what the Catholic Church and all religions are deeply involved in at this time. They're not keeping the laws of Yahweh. Sin is the breaking of Yahweh's laws. That's 1 John 3:4 if you want to write it down. Yael is found on page 693. It gives us a bit of information here that I want you to get in your mind. So everybody get it. Book of Yahweh at 693. It comes right after Hosea, Daniel, Hosea, Yael. Now you see that the sun and the moon will be dark, and the stars will withdraw their shining. That is the heavens darken. That's the same thing we find in Matthew 24. But I want you to go on over to verse 26 now. He says, but you will eat in plenty. Be satisfied and praise the name of Yahweh. You don't find the world praising the name of Yahweh. And if you look in the interlinear, it shows it's Yahweh here. It's not Lord or God that they're praising. The world worships gods. They changed the name, took it out of the Holy Scriptures, took the word Yahweh out, as Jeremiah 23, verse 26 and 27 tells you. They took Yahweh's name out and replaced it with Lord. And that's what the world is worshiping today. They don't know that word Lord comes from the word Rabbi. And Rabbini means the Lord. And they think that the men who die go to heaven and they can intervene for them. And that's what they're doing with the last dead pope. They're praying to the dead on behalf of the living, as the prophet said. Why do you go to the dead to pray on behalf of the living, he said. Are you crazy, he said. Well, no, he didn't say that, but you can hear it in his words as you read them. He says, don't you know the dead know nothing? They're asleep, they're dead, they're gone, they're resting, they have no motion, they know not anything, and won't until they're resurrected. But the people swear they lay their hands on the coffin, you know, of this dead pope, and he healed their headache, you know. It's gone in about 7 days after that. How long did you have it before? When it came, how long did it last? Oh, about a week. But he healed it. Well, you know, this is stupidity, but, you know, this goes on constantly in the fake. It's all fake religion. But you will eat, Yahweh says, in plenty. He's talking about his people who praise the name of Yahweh. Those who will praise the name, not those who just use the name now in words, but who actually will praise, that is, reverence, as Malachi used the word. It's almost the same word. But to reverence the name that stands for 613 laws of righteousness. Who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people will never be ashamed. Look on down to verse 28. He says, and it will come to pass afterwards, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. All of this is starting to develop right now. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit to those now who praise or reverence the name Yahweh. And I will show wonders in heaven and in the earth, blood, fire, pillars of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness. That's the same thing that Isaiah was speaking of. Sun will be turned into darkness. That is the same time period. The time period is the last generation. Yeshua showed it. Hold your place right there and go over to Matthew 24. And you see the time period here. It couldn't be any other time period except this one. They didn't have nuclear bombs at any other time. Not when Yahshua walked the earth or anyone else. It was only invented in my lifetime. I remember it being invented. I remember the first atom bombs being used on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Rather poor in power compared to the ones today, the great nuclear bombs they have today. When the nuclear wars start, as the Assyrian president warned Israel, when Israel is refusing to give back their land, and of course Israel is saying, well, to give back the land, we would have to have at least 2/3 vote. Well, they're not going to get 2/3 vote, and they know it. So the Assyrian president is saying, this means war. And he said, when this war starts, it's not going to be a winner and a loser. He said, this time, both because of the weapons that we have, both parties are going to lose. Well, that's the way it stands all over that fourth part of the earth right now. It's not going to be a winner left. The only winners that are left are the ones that's going to be calling upon the name Yahweh, as is shown here. But look quickly to Matthew 24 And his disciples came to him and asked him, when are these things going to be? Talking about the destruction of the temple. Now remember, he gave this prophecy. Then he ascended in 29 A.D. The temple was not destroyed until 40 years later, and it was plowed like a field. All the stones removed. It was plowed like a field, just like the prophecy said it would be. Because of the sinful nation, they couldn't follow the laws as fighting against each other. So the Hebrews living in Rome, they decided to destroy the whole thing in Israel because they couldn't get the people to stop worshiping Yahweh. And they tried killing them off. They couldn't. The people, there was too many that rise up against them. If you remember, they had that fear when Yochanan was arrested. And he was afraid of the people because they had considered Yochanan as a prophet, and he didn't want to riot a big revolution on his hands. And he feared doing anything, so he just had him arrested at the time until things quietened down and he could secretly get rid of him. Well, of course, these same ones destroyed the temple, took the artifacts to Rome. Titus did. The history is there for you to read. Everything was taken to Rome, priests and all, and they're still there. But now they're known as universal, and they still rule. The armies stand on their part even today. Someone, who was it? Iran. They are asking, are going to ask. They got a committee and going to ask the Pope now to intervene between them and the United States. They know the power this man has. Well, it's going to be interesting to see how that turns out, but we know that it's all coming to nuclear war, like the scripture showed. In verse 29, Yeshua's writings, immediately, but after the tribulation of those days will the sun be darkened and the moon will not give her light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. We just read that here in Yael. So this is the same event. And the sun darkened, see? Sun darkened, and the heavens shaken. And then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then will all the tribes of the earth mourn when they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. This is speaking of Genesis 49. The scepter will at that time be given to the one who was actually raised, bred, and raised to perfection by Yahweh's people, and he will come, and he will at that time have the authority to take over the nations. We'll go back here to Yael now. Surely you can see that these two are fact, and the nuclear bombs are the only thing. And this is the time period, this generation is the time period of nuclear bombs that can darken the sun. As we see here in Yael, the second chapter, the sun will be, in verse 31, the sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of Yahweh comes. And whosoever will call with the name Yahweh, now, of course, if you have a King James Version, it's going to say, name of the Lord. They removed the name Yahweh. If you reverence the word Lord, you're reverencing a dead rabbi. The dead rabbis are the ones that created this religion. Nimrod is the religion that Cush created. Cush was a rabbi. That's where that's the start of this whole thing in Genesis 10. Genesis 49 tells you how it will turn out. But whosoever will call with the name Yahweh will be delivered. For in Mount Zion, now this is mistranslated, in Mount Zion, in Jerusalem, there will be deliverance as Yahweh has said. Let me read you the correct translation of this. These two verses here, According to the expert translators, the sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and wonderful. It's a wonderful day that is coming, the day of Yahweh. It's wonderful, but it's dreaded. You know, the Pope, the Catholic Church, calls Yahweh the dreadful judge. That dreadful judge. Well, the popes claim they can intervene for you after they're dead. They go to heaven and they go to this dreadful judge. So you can send your prayers to them and they'll intervene on your behalf. And they've got the whole world deceived into thinking that they can rely on them to get help and forgiveness for their sins and bring them on up to heaven too. Which is not even, you know, it's not even what we're seeking to begin with. You know, it's like going to heaven is your reward, you know, that's it. Wow, go to heaven. Mess it up like you do the earth. But it's the authority to bring forth righteousness that we're seeking. That's what Yahweh promised us in Genesis, the second chapter. Yeah, bring forth his law. Now, verse 32, a wonderful day of Yahweh comes in verse 31. And whoever will call with the name Yahweh will be delivered, for out of Abel. Out of Abel, that word, why they did it. One thing is to hide it, to deceive, because they know, of course, you've got to know about Abel now to understand this. But it all ties together. Abel, which we have information on it. So don't hesitate to call or write, email us, and we'll get you the information on Abel. But we brought it out time after time. Abel was the first righteous priest. And, of course, there's many things throughout the prophecies that refer to Abel. Abel, where Yahweh, the people lift up holy hands to Yahweh. Now, let's go again, 32. Whoever will call with the name Yahweh will be delivered, for at Abel, through the one who teaches those who keep all of Yahweh's laws, that is, through the priest who teaches peace, there will be deliverance, as Yahweh has said, among the remnant who has escaped of those whom Yahweh calls. Well, that is the perfect translation of that scripture right there. Now, I'd like to cover just a couple of more scriptures. I know I'm out of time, but I'd like to cover just a couple of more here. Let's go back to, again now, Isaiah 43. And I want to get this in your mind now before next week. And if you'd be studying it throughout the week, it would help. Now, we read Isaiah 42:1, where it says, "My elect," and I showed you the interlinear, shows that's actually chosen, my chosen. Now, look to chapter 43 and verse 1. "But now, this is what Yahweh says, who created you, O Jacob." Now, we know that this is speaking of two brothers, but let's read this, and we'll read the two brothers spoken of later next week. "But now, this is what Yahweh says, who created you, Jacob, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel." Remember, I put my spirit upon him. And this is part of the forming of this man called Israel. "I formed you," meaning, as we saw in the previous chapter, "I put my spirit upon you." If you'll hold your place right there and go back to Yochanan, this is the Savior's words in Yochanan 6:63, because today, the Christianity has deceived the world again here with the Holy Ghost. And this is the way they described it, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. They're one God. But they worship two in Jesus Christ. That was two gods that they chose. So they're all mixed up in their mind. They've just got it from here to there and tried to juggle it together from the 10 religions that took over that were brought up in these different colonies or tribes. And of course they formed religions and they were sold on those religions because they did certain things. So the Roman army, or the roaming army of the Hebrews would bring them into Babylon, and they'd say, well, this looks okay, we can keep this. And of course, 10 religions were in shown by Daniel to be in motion here when another one joins it. The last one, of course, was converting this one that had control of the temple over to this other one, which was worshiping the sun and the queen of heaven and everything that they did in Egypt. This has been brought out in several books, by the way. The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop did a great job, I thought, on it. There's some others besides that. But here in Yochanan, the Savior will show you what the Spirit is, and I have tapes on that and information. You need that. To go with Abel, you need this right here also. Because the Spirit of Yahweh is speaking about a character. Now, there's gifts of that come with getting the character of Yahweh. I'll make man in my, you could translate that into my character, in my likeness, my image, which means my character, but also my shape and my actions. So the character there. And to get this character of Yahweh, you've got to start practicing and then loving the laws of Yahweh, and then you start developing a love for Yahweh himself because you see how righteous this being is and how unselfish he is. You know, his total actions are helping, and his total actions in life, his total character is to help others. And he's saying to heaven and earth, I'm wanting to serve you and bring peace to all of you. And this is the total plan. So you start actually reverencing him because you see him in these laws. Well, the Savior says here in verse 63, Yochanan 6 and verse 63, he says, it is the Spirit that gives life. Well, what is the Spirit? It's the character that you get from keeping Yahweh's laws, Yahweh's character. If you develop this, then I will give to you authority. That authority is gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit, holy. Holy. The holiness is unselfishness. It's an unselfish acts towards your fellow man, like Yahshua himself displayed in saying, you don't rule people like this. You serve people. And I came not to be a ruler or a dictator. I came to show you your sins and to turn you from breaking Yahweh's laws and bring you into the same character as myself, wanting to serve. Well, that was Yahshua, humble, and being a servant, riding on donkeys, training those donkeys to be servants, not rulers like the world that you see today. The one who has the most money is the ruler. Well, the Catholic Church has more money than any of them, but the Catholic Church is made up of businessmen who can throw billions of dollars here and there like pennies with us. Well, here now in 663, Yochanan 663 says it is the Spirit that gives life. That is this character, because you have no life if you sin. But if you turn from sin, then part of the authority is giving you the authority to create and maintain life. That's what Satan had to begin with, and it was taken from her. So this will bring you eternal life, he's saying. It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. Now, what is the spirit? The laws that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life everlasting if you will repent and convert, as Acts 3:19 tells you. Repent of sin, convert to keeping Yahweh's laws, and then the life will be given to you, the authority to actually create and maintain life. Now back to Isaiah 43 now. Isaiah 43. So hear, O Jacob, and then when verse 1. Now this is speaking of the two witnesses here, whose names are Jacob and Israel, and I'll show you how they got those names next week, Yahweh willing. But now this is what Yahweh says, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you, which I bought you back from sin. Yeshua was sinless. And how he bought us back, you have to know about Yeshua living a sinless life and being able to pay for our past sins. So he bought us back. He even traded, he said, with Satan and her owners. You belong to whom you obey. That's Romans 6:16. You belong to whom you obey. But if you repent and turn to obedience to Yahweh's laws, then you belong to Yahweh. I have called you by your name, he says. I have redeemed you. And I have called you by your name. I called you by your name in Scripture. If you would believe the Scriptures, you would believe me because they prophesy of me, Yeshua said. You are mine, he says. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. He's speaking of the danger here now. This is 43. Now look on down to on over to verse 10. Verse 10, he says, you are my witnesses. Could it be any plainer than that? He's speaking of Jacob and Israel. And he says, you are my witnesses. This is also speaking of a work that is shown in Isaiah 2. You are my elect, my chosen. Chosen to do this work, to bring forth a message to the nations. Well, here in verse 10, he says, you are my witnesses, says Yahweh. My servant. You get that? My servant. Isaiah 2, verse 1 says, behold my servant. You are my servant, he says, whom I have chosen. So you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor will there be after me, or after this plan is completed. There will be no gods. Even I am Yahweh, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared, and I have saved. I have showed, and I have showed that no strange God is among you. I have showed that no strange God is among you, Israel. Did you get that? My servant, my chosen, I've showed this. That is in prophecy. I've said there is no strange God among Israel. Speaking of a witness, you are my witnesses. Therefore, you are my witnesses, says Yahweh, that I am Yahweh. Not God, not Lord, but Yahweh. Okay, that was Isaiah now, 43, verse 12. Look back to verse 9. let all the nations, he published judgment to the nations. That's part of the job of this one person here. With all of the donkey's coats. He doesn't do it by himself, but with the donkey's coats, as shown in Genesis 49 of the 12 tribes, and Yahshua, who comes forth from that 12 tribes, the righteous man Yahweh raised from the dead, he publishes, with him being the judge over the last day's work, Yahweh performing a work through two witnesses here to make the nations the footstool of Yahshua. That is what is left of the nations, because 4/5 of the nations is going to be wiped out, but the rest, Revelations 7 shows, who is left alive, they will turn back, they will turn to Yahweh, they will keep the appointed Sabbaths with Yahweh, whom the beastly system has changed to Sunday and Halloween, rabbits and eggs and so forth. Let all the nations be gathered, verse 9, together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this? Who among the nations that you know of can predict the future? Nobody. None of them. They have hopes and dreams that they can destroy and weaken the population. Then they'll take it over and build it the way they want to, them controlling all the wealth in the world as the discoverer of that wealth. But the fights have always been among them because they have nothing. They have no righteousness to keep them together. They have no righteous laws to follow. They make up the rules as they go. And that's what you're seeing among the nations now. Somebody has got something you want, let's bring it about to get it. If they object, our bombs are bigger than their bombs. Or as one general put it, my God is stronger than your God. And all of them worshiping gods, though, not Yahweh. If there's worshiping Yahweh, brethren, they'd be keeping his laws. Who among them can declare this? None of them can show you the future. And show us former things. Let them bring forth their witnesses. Well, where are their witnesses? The witnesses are at this time declaring the laws of Yahweh and the prophecies of Yahweh that is coming to pass one by one. Witnesses, bring forth your witnesses. Show them to us. So they may be justified, or let them hear and acknowledge this is truth. Well, of course, their own works proves they're liars. They have no witnesses. They cannot predict the future. They cannot tell you what's going to take place in this situation. In fact, Yahweh says what they're saying is a lie too. They're sitting in deception right now. What they think will bring them peace is war, but they're going to get caught up in this themselves, and 4/5 of them are going to be wiped out. Next week, we'll get deeper into the two witnesses and their work through the donkey's coats. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you.